Well, hi, Tim.
Hi.
What are we doing here, man?
Yeah, why are we here? Oh, yeah, Cautionary Tales. That's why we're here. Welcome to Cautionary Tales, the podcast.
Where we are going to discuss a whole bunch of things in regards to Cautionary Tales, which is our first book that we wrote together.
Yeah, this is our chance to make the audiobook using a podcast. That's what we're going to attempt to do. We're going to record each chapter of the book and release it as a podcast episode.
So we have one book under our belts already, print form. Why did we do it?
Well, this is definitely a not safe for work book, but it's about work.
Working Joes. What else can you say about it?
Working Joes, yeah. This isn't, well, there's a couple office stories in there. Things happening in offices anyways.
One or two. I have a copy of it right here beside me. I keep it by my workstation at home just in case I want to have a good reminder and a good laugh. I had a lot of fun writing this. I think you did too. And I'm thinking we're going to have a lot of fun recording these stories.
Yeah, this is the deep dive for us. We're going to actually dissect our stories and afterwards we're going to be thinking, why the hell did I write that? And maybe getting a good chuckle out of it, remembering why.
Yeah, I'm already in the process of doing that. So you and I are pretty well deep into the second book of our, I guess, Cautionary Tales series. And it's going pretty good so far. I'm pretty happy with what I'm writing. And I know you got a whole bunch of things written down too. You haven't seen what I've written, really. I think you've got one story, but I haven't seen what you've written yet. And I'm looking forward to going through all your stuff and having you go through mine. I guess we'll kind of introduce ourselves here. So I'm already talking. Should I go first?
Sure, you could go.
Well, I'm Ryan, and I've been working in the Alberta trades industry for over 20 years now, and worked a whole bunch of places. I don't think there's a couple different provinces even. I think I've been over to Manitoba and to Saskatchewan a little bit, and I've met all kinds of people, usually really nice folks, and usually some really interesting folks splattered among them or sprinkled among them, I guess, and met you at one of those jobs. You were one of those interesting people, and we hit it off, and that's how I got to where we're sitting today.
That's quite the journey.
It is quite the journey. I don't want to go into too many specifics. You know, sometimes I'm afraid of being sued, but we won't. We won't say where we've worked or anything like that, but just a broad general area, you know, the province of Alberta, yeah. Maybe a little Saskatchewan, maybe some BC, maybe a little Manitoba.
Yeah, but we can't really go into specifics, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid that. I mean, no one's going to, we don't want to get anyone really mad at us. Like, not that mad, not suing mad, not legal action mad.
Well, they might get a little mad, but okay, well, my name's Tim. I've been in the oil field / trades type industry for way too many years now. But I started out as a farmer, moved my way into working at a foundry of all things, melting aluminum and brass. And then eventually I worked into pipe fitting, welding, pipelining. And after I got sick of all those things, I went into QC work on all those things. So now I'm watching other people do welding and pipelining and pipe fitting. So, yeah, well, I watch people work now and I tell them that they're doing it wrong. That's the QC job, you know, right?
Oh, I just give everyone attaboys if I was doing that. Doing great, buddy. Keep it up.
Okay, maybe I do that too.
Positive reinforcement. It always works. So you and I have both found that one of the biggest things when you're working right now and you're working away from home. And I've done my fair share of that also. In fact, I'm going to be doing it next week. One of the things that we kind of bonded over was the fact that we always found things to laugh at or people to laugh with. And the sense of humor kind of kept us going through all these things and kind of inspired us to write this book. You know, it's a great coping mechanism, I guess, for when you're away from home, you're away from your family and can't have that meal you want or that drink that you want or see that person that you want to see. So in that respect, I guess that's more or less what one of the main driving themes of this book is we're trying to be funny. We're trying to shed some light on some of the humor that you and I have both experienced working with some of these, at some of these places and working with some of these people. Yeah.
Yeah. Humor is a coping mechanism. I mean, you can look at the world one of two ways. Well, maybe there's four ways, but anyways, the basics are negative or positive. You can look at the terrible thing, or you can look at the good thing, or you can look at the terrible thing and make it a good thing by laughing at it. So,
and we're kind of, I'd say you and I are both kind of absurdists. Like we find humor in the crazy stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
No matter how messed up the situation is, there's always something funny about it.
Yeah. That's, don't even get me started on vampires in the town I'm living in now.
You're in the Lost Boys?
That's what it feels like over here. It's a little bit of dark humor there, but.
So some of the things that we're kind of touching on with our book is we kind of go into areas of maybe the old days. We touch on some of the stuff that we've seen from several years back, maybe even a couple decades back, and maybe smash those ideas up against how things kind of work now and what we see now and how we interact with people and how that kind of stuff has changed. So I think it's maybe like a glimpse back into the past and looking at how we've moved ahead, how we've kind of stayed in the same place in other respects, and other people have kind of come into the fold here and there along the way, and the whole landscape has totally changed. Gotten better, I'd say, but just it's a little picture of history, I guess. Would you say that's close to what we're trying to get to?
Well, for sure. A lot of the things we write about, if they were to occur now on a job site, there'd be some major intervention of some sort. Some actions would be taken.
Yeah.
Now things were rougher.
It was a rough time. Now it was none of these things. Some of these things, I wouldn't say not all of them are bad. Most of them are not illegal, but it was the way, I don't know. I didn't want to say that, but
many of them were misguided.
Right, yeah. They were misguided and people didn't care so much, or maybe they did and maybe they should have, but for whatever reason, crazy stuff wound up happening. And if you worked in this business, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was a very different landscape. So we're trying to kind of capture some of that crazy stuff and how you and I both kind of got here, living our lives with as good of a sense of humor as I guess we think we have.
I think there's more crazy pockets than people know about. You know, what happens in Lloyd, what happens in Lloyd stays in Lloyd. So...
Yeah, they're definitely there. You do run across, there's been a couple that I've run into in the last 5 years here that have kind of been an eye opener. I'm maybe one of those pockets. I don't even know. I think I'm maybe a little bit weird myself. So, but we have kind of an angle to this, like some of the stories that we're telling. I guess maybe you could kind of speak to this, Tim. Our next talking point is mental health.
Yeah. So a lot of these. The reason a lot of these incidents or funny things happen is because people are, they're not necessarily in their best, they're not being their best self. And the majority of the people that I work with are, you know, they identify as male. So it's more of a male problem. I don't think guys are very good at expressing their feelings. It used to be, we couldn't talk about anything that was going on in our heads. So we would take it out in various ways at work. So we've kind of, and, you know, there's people that, friends that we used to have that no longer are around with us because they couldn't hack it. So because of that, Ryan and I decided to support CCMF, which is Canadian Center for Men and Families. And they address some of the mental health issues.
Yeah, they work with men on issues such as the mental health stuff, divorce, custody, addiction issues. They have all sorts of resources available to them and are an organization that's willing to help specifically men and their families to try and overcome issues that are specific to men. And a lot of the guys that, you know, you and I have met a lot of people that through our years in this industry that maybe could have used this, maybe you and I could have used this at a certain point in time, this organization. And it's well worth looking into, especially if you know someone who's going through a hard time, they're worth checking out for sure. And they've been very kind to accept the generosity from this bizarre thing that we do. So we thank them very greatly for that.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely could have used them myself. I went through a 3-year custody battle, which as a guy, you are not supported by society, or you at least maybe you're more supported now, but you're not really supported, especially if you have to hold down a job and you have another new family starting, and it's, they're there for that kind of guy. So if you're going through that kind of a struggle in your life, or a divorce or anything else, and you go to work, you're not going to be in your best state. And, you know, some crazy stuff can happen.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a cascade effect where someone's having a bad time at home and they go to work, they bring the bad time with them. They can't escape it. It's there everywhere they turn. And because they have nowhere to turn, and it kind of manifests itself in outlandish stuff. And we've seen it, we've lived it, and we kind of just want to talk about it and get it out there that there's an organization out there that can help. So the big one for me, and the one of the hardest stresses I've ever had, was when we have to work away from home. And anyone who's worked in this business in particular, but maybe even some of the, any sort of industry in Alberta, you know, there's all sorts of, all kinds of professionals that work away from home, but working away from home is a big, big thing here. And that's more or less one of the themes that we write about in Cautionary Tales. A lot of it takes place while people are working away from home.
I don't know how common it is in other industries. It's, you know, it, business travel happens. Some people travel a lot, or used to before COVID anyway. Used to travel a lot for business as well. But for us blue-collar tradespeople, it's, well, one of my buddies right now, he's dedicated to staying at home. And in the part of the Alberta that he lives in, there's just not a lot going on that's going to make him any money. He's minimum wage or leave home. He's decided he's not going to leave home because he's not willing to, he doesn't do well on the road. He doesn't want to feel that way anymore. So he's taking the minimum wage route instead. That's the kind of choice you got to make. And then you feel like less of a person that sometimes as a guy, if you deny your training, like if you're trained in a trade or a career and then you choose to not use it, part of you is, you know, dying inside when you do that.
Yeah. It's the hardest part of the industry for sure, is that at some point I've always tried to stay close to my house and be working somewhere close to my house, but it hasn't always worked out that way. And I've had to spend probably about 2 years. I'm a lucky guy. I've always been able to stay kind of close to home, but I've had to do a couple good years in camp, a couple tough years, but it's hard on everybody. And it is kind of a choice to make. And it's a tough choice if you want to stay home, because you might not be making the big bucks, and you might have to hear about someone else who is kind of making the big bucks. And it's kind of like, I kind of think of it like if you talk to someone who's a gambler and they don't tell you about all the money that they've lost, but they always tell you about the wins that they've had.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that. You always see, like, people always tend to put out the positive stuff in regards to that. And you tend not to notice the negative stuff, but it's definitely a hard experience. So we've got that angle in our book. And I think all the new stories that I'm writing about right now all take place at places or have all been based off experiences that I've had while working away from home exclusively. So there's a lot goes on when you're at these places, and if people kind of reveal themselves to everybody when they're there. I mean, it's not long before someone just starts talking to you, and you start talking to someone else up there, just getting to know each other. So it's a bonding experience, really. Like when you have a whole bunch of people all together with the same job in the same place, all away from their families, you really have no choice but to just kind of talk it over and talk to each other. And that's where all these kind of stories, for me anyway, and I think a lot for you, have kind of just sprung out of, is that you just get to talk to so many people who are going through something, or who've gone through something, or have some wild story to tell, and are just trying to make, you're just trying to make each other laugh. It is. I don't know. I think about some of these stories that I'm writing down here and all the people who are involved in them, and kind of a good walk. It was, you know, you do feel an attachment to these, to your coworkers.
For sure, because you see them more than anybody else for your stint. But so far, what's our main focus? Comedy and funny stuff, and this introductory episode is hilarious so far.
Is it? I'm not so sure.
That was sarcasm.
I would just typically run into this like with a tennis racket in one hand and a baseball bat in the other and just a pair of underwear on, but you can't see me right now. It's just voices only. So we're trying to be funny and just I think we just bombed, dude.
Well, no. This is what our podcast is about though. It's about the stories we wrote, which are for the largest part pretty funny. It's just that the motivation behind it is a little more serious at times.
It is, yeah. I think we kind of found a funny way of doing something serious or bringing light to something serious in a funny way. I mean, we've gotten some good responses from our first book, Cautionary Tales, and I've heard some good things about some of the stories. And the people who work in the industry are pretty excited because they don't hear a lot of stories about what they do. And a lot of people can relate to what we're writing down. Hopefully we kind of capture the attention of other people who maybe aren't in the trades too, and they can come on board and have a laugh at all this kind of stuff and ask us, you know, is that really how it is? And we can say, yeah, sometimes it is. it's kind of wacky. But
well, if it's any sort of a recommendation for our first book, Cautionary Tales, my dad has read it 5 times now. So it's got to be good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a hell of a guy to have done that 5 times. One proud dad, I'd say.
I guess so.
I have not even asked my dad if he's read this.
Well, his favorite story is the one with the turkey in it, so it's not even my story. It's your story.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. Well, that's high compliments anyway. I just stole your thunder right from your dad.
Well, that's fine. You just know where his humor level's at then if you know that story. So don't worry, you'll hear it later.
it'll be here.
It'll jump out at you. Just remember the turkey.
Remember the turkey. This is going to be a fun exercise. I'm really looking forward to I'm a little bit nervous about reading through all these. And I guess you're going to are you going to read the ones you wrote and I'm going to read the ones I wrote? And then we'll just do it that way.
That's probably the best way to go, right?
And then everyone will know who the real sickos are. Sicko 1 and Sicko 2. Yeah, I guess that's what we're going to be. So can we tease anything? Do you want to tease some stuff? Or?
Well, we could. We could tease some stuff.
Well, like little one-liners. What are you writing about these days, Tim? What am I writing about Cautionary Tales 2?
Cautionary Tales 2. Okay, well, there's Brandy the Dancer is one story.
Okay.
You can go wherever you want with that one. Let's just say she didn't quit when the quitting was good.
Okay.
One of yours.
I've got a story about smoke pit confessionals.
Oh, yeah.
Smoke pit confessions, yeah. I've got another story similar to the turkey, which I think I've shared with you. And I've got another one, a magnum opus, a Lord of the Rings, that's all tied to one psychotic supervisor who just weaves his way through the whole story, which is several stories, but he's the common factor that's in them all. So I'm in the middle of that one right now. It's a big guy. So just typing away.
Okay. I've got one about a little bit of, well, it's called The Condiment King. Various things going on with condiment appropriation.
Okay.
Okay. I'll just give you the title of this one. The night that a guy named Nipples saved me from getting boot fucked with flip-flops. How about that one?
That's a good title. I think it says it all.
Okay.
Read that one.
Here's another one. Safety Sideshow Bob shows me how to break a windshield with his head.
I don't think we write about enough safety guys.
He was a safety guy's nightmare. That's why he's Safety Sideshow Bob.
Oh, but he wasn't a safety guy?
No, we don't write enough about safety guys, and you're right. Maybe we'll have to rectify that.
I have a feeling that if you dug deep enough, the safety guys are the secret psychos of this industry. Like, they're all there because they did something nuts.
Yeah, you could be right about that. I know we did write at least once about a safety guy, didn't we? You did.
I won't tell you which story that was.
That was a biggie.
Maybe, you know what we should do is we should get some of these guys. If you're a safety guy out there and you're listening to this, we want you to come and tell your story. We'll disguise your voice.
saw you talk like this, and everyone talks like this. I was a safety guy in the industry.
We'll disguise your voice. You can. We'll blank you out if you want to be on video. Yeah. You don't have to be.
Yeah, you can sit in a darkened corner in the video.
Yeah, but we'll set you up like that. So on this audio podcast, you can be in the dark. It'll be cooler that way. And we'll just record your messed up stories. And no one will ever know that that safety guy they work with is a complete lunatic. Because I have a feeling that some of you are. You safety guys out there, you know who I'm talking about. All you safety guys.
Yeah.
Lunatics. But yeah, it's we got some gems, and I'm really looking forward to saying all these dirty words into a microphone and putting them down forever so that the internet has them for the end of time.
I guess we should probably mark our podcast 13 plus, eh?
13 plus. Yeah, this is
I guess at least.
Yeah, I just wrote one so dirty, Tim, that I don't even know what to do with myself.
Oh, so
I
was R ashamed rated, while is writing it. Is it R?
Yeah, this is it's an X.
I think I know which one that is. I think you.
Yeah,
you
yeah, gave, it's an X.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I finally found an angle to write it in a way that didn't, you know, that made sense to me. So that's a good one too. It's in the it'll be fun. I'll see what you think of it.
In this modern age, you would think a swear word is still general, right? In this day and age, but...
Well, I think even kindergartners say shit now.
That's what they? I mean.
Like, if you're a kindergarten teacher, you're allowed one shit a day. You could say one shit.
Yeah, probably. Get over here, you little shit.
Well, I don't know if you could do... You might be like... Joey, take your shit back to the carpet.
Yeah, maybe, you know, that's more appropriate, you know.
Yeah, Susie, you can't do that shit. And then someone comes in, they go, that's two. You can't, just one. You're allowed one.
And you could turn around and say, you know what? I'm sick of taking your shit.
Yeah, get rid of this shit. Yeah. You're fired now. You can't teach kids. You got to go to grade one. Grade one, you're allowed an F-bomb.
Yeah, you're allowed, one F-bomb a day or a week.
Yeah.
Let's just make up some new school rules here while we're at it. Not at the Catholic school, though.
No, the Catholic school, you have to whisper them.
Well, you probably can use as many as you want. You just got to, you know, feel guilty afterwards.
As long as you confess, you're good. But we won't get into that too much. Yeah, it's a not safe. It's a dirty word podcast. It's going to be, you're going to hear some stuff. So turn it down when the kids are around. Put earmuffs on them. You know, just make sure they're not wherever you're listening to this stuff, because it's greasy.
Yeah, that's good advice. And then we're just going to throw it out on the internet, and whoever finds it.
So,
I mean, at any moment, most parents should be aware that if they let their kids have internet, they won't stop at swear words. So,
yeah. We'll close it off. Before we go, I just want to say a couple things. So our email address, my dogs are going crazy because there's a skunk outside right now. Oh boy. Either that or someone's smoking some choice weed. But we have an email address where if you have any stories or anything that you'd like to see us kind of embellish into something that's printed, you just want to, you might want to get it out there anonymously. You can email us at our email address, which is cautionary.tales.book@gmail.com. Or if you want to tell Tim and I how disgusting the stuff we have written is, or if you like it and you want to drop us some positive reinforcement, we like that too. And I just, before we go, I wanted to say thank you to a couple people who I know have read our book or have given us words of encouragement or maybe given us a little bit of a pep talk or reason to write. So that would be Terry, Pejman, Jim, Rob, Ben, Mike, Jesse, Justin, all the Ryans that I know, Tim, and Kevin.
Okay, well, now you caught me unawares, so I don't have a list ready. But I should probably thank some people, too. Starting with my dad, because he's obviously a pretty big fan. But, various welders that I'm working with right now, which maybe I shouldn't name all of because don't want anything to get out of control with the location we're at. Yeah.
And, well, of course, all the people too, because
all the people that have submitted stories, you know who you are. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And please keep reading, and we hope you like what we got coming up for you.
Okay, that's a wrap. Oh, yeah. And don't forget, we have another podcast that we should probably plug in here, too.
We do. You can listen to Tim and I also on Unreliable Narrator. That is our pop culture, fun times, jokey podcast where we sometimes talk to people, sometimes just talk to each other, sometimes review movies, sometimes TV shows. But we always have a slice. We talk about, obviously, fake news. And sometimes, and just stuff that catches our eye and makes us laugh. So please stay tuned. Listen in.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening to this one. Are we going to say our regular catchphrase?
Well, we can port it over. I think it applies to this one, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's been a slice.
Well, it's been a slice, Tim. We'll talk later.
Okay. Bye.
Adios.